Let's start the racing rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to have Dino and Brendan part of the team for the next hour to look back on racing right around the country. There was a few blowouts yesterday. We've just seen a major blowout, the Kentucky Derby. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Good morning, Warren.
How was racing around the country for you yesterday?
Yeah, it was pretty hectic, wasn't it? There was plenty to watch from Caulfield to Gosford, and of course the Group 1 action at Morpheville, and a real highlight seeing Ethan Brown ride his first Group 1 winner aboard Snapdancer.
Yeah, great to see that, and great to hear from Ethan in the last half hour or so. And I know through your involvement in the Cranbourne racing community, Dino, you've had a bit to do with Ethan. He's a very gentle soul, but a very competitive soul as well. Great to see him get that Group 1 win.
Yes, absolutely, and he's worked very, very hard in the last 4 or 5 months, and probably he's worked very hard for a lot of years, but it all culminated yesterday, and that's what you get is that Group 1 success.
Add the racing at Donald to what Brendan Delaney had to keep his eye on yesterday. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Brendan. On calling duties yesterday at Donald was Brendan, and I'll touch on a couple of performances from there with him by the end of the hour too, because I think there might have been some nice horses to come through the program. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Yeah, good morning, Warren. Yeah, there's some crackers there yesterday. First winner goes really nicely, and the winner of the Donald Classic was pretty impressive as well. Generally a good lead to the Ulstrom at Swan Hill, but might be above that quality, you might think. But I'm still picking myself up off the floor that the Kentucky Derby ran out of time.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing. I thought we might. I didn't know when we'd be starting.
Well, that was the 250-to-1 shot that it had run on time.
Outstanding. And there didn't look to be any loafing in that race, Dino.
45 and a half from the gates, Warren, in a 2,000 metre race. And been watching the commentary about that race, you know, for the last 3 or 4 months, and they said that there's no standouts in it. Well, they were certainly right. The rank outsider got the money.
Back to the top of the card at Caulfield. We get to the feature racing interstate later in the hour. We'll look at the card at Caulfield, kicked off over 1,200 metres with the Thomas North handicap.
They clutter up to the corner at the 400 metres, where the leader is Lincoln Square from Maximilius, who hangs around the corner. Lincoln Square about 3/4 of a length, Maximilius, then Merchant Prince into the clear. Liberty steps down the centre, and then came Volander. Lincoln Square at the 200, hands and heels by a length, Maximilius, Liberty steps, and Merchant Prince is still coming on, but Lincoln Square is going well for McNeil. Lincoln Square is 2 lengths in front of Liberty steps, and Lincoln Square is going to do it all for a soft win at the finish. Lincoln Square from Liberty steps and Merchant Prince.
Well, just hearing from Greg Urell, it took a bit to get him to the races, Dino, but it was worth waiting for.
Certainly was. They've had great success with his family at a probably slightly lesser level than this, but this horse started his career in great style, and the lead was up for grabs, and John McNeil seized upon it, and that was pretty much the end of the race. He rolled along at just a nice even speed. He controlled the race and had a bit up his sleeve to the line. It was a pretty good debut, really, because the horses that he beat that we've seen at the races, like Liberty Steps, Merchant Prince. Liberty Steps, impressive last start, and Merchant Prince close up in a blue diamond, and he had a nice margin over them.
Maximilius, who was well supported, particularly when markets first went up, Brendan, Paddy Maloney saying he was a bit one-paced and might be suited to a step up in distance. Nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. How do you see the race?
Yeah, Lincoln Square grabbed control of it from a long way out. Had it easy in front, made most of it, but he was there to go when Jai needed him to, and an impressive effort. Liberty Step speed probably didn't help him there, but he's run well again. Merchant Prince, nice run behind them, kept coming to the line maybe in a little bit of restricted room, but all in all, the story that goes with the winners is a fascinating one. And just to get to the races and to probably still be alive is a great feat to the Urell stable and those connected at the vets and the like, but well done to Jai controlling that race from the front.
Dino, overall, how did you see the track playing yesterday?
Look, early it looked as though the inside was where you wanted to be, but they weren't high-pressure races by any means. So I think we saw when the speed got more intense in some of the races that it was a pretty even track in that regard. Probably race two, just going through the figures, they actually went quite hard there. But, overall, I thought it played pretty well.
Do you have a view on how it played, Brendan?
Yeah, when they're not running time in front, the leaders are always going to be advantaged. It's going to be hard to make ground when horses are resting on the speed. So, as Dino said, once they did put a bit of speed into the races, those out the back were able to run on.
Lincoln Square takes out the first. Terrific story for Connections and Greg Urell, and great care taken from the vets to get him to the races. Dino was tipping Deny Knowledge in race two for Mick Kent with Josh Richards aboard.
The turn at the 350. It's Deny Knowledge grabbed by Starring Roll. Princess Rainey's towards the middle of the track, and then White Hibiscus whacking away from Swindon Lass, and then Maid of Iron at Starring Roll at the 200. Deny Knowledge is not being denied on the inside and coming back. Starring Roll at the 100 with Deny Knowledge, who's fighting back. Deny Knowledge takes the lead again. What a tough performance by this former English mare. Deny Knowledge beat Starring Roll and Princess Rainey's.
Off Dino indicating there might have been some pressure here. A tough performance for Deny Knowledge, Brendan, to be able to kick back.
Yeah, most certainly. She seemed to really rock up the hill along the back, and then Josh Richards was able to get her a bit of a breather from the time they got over onto the railway side and just get her to fill her lungs. She had a nice big drop in weight, and I don't think Josh was too perturbed when Starring Roll went past. I think we've got a pretty good guide on how good he is on getting these front-running rides spot on, and maybe just let Starring Roll go ahead of him on the turn. Starring Roll, back end of a mile with that early speed, was always going to be a task for her. Princess Rahini's, probably the mid-race slacken when they came onto the side, didn't suit, but made the looping run and kept coming to the line. I thought was a really solid effort, and Maid of Iron held up on the turn, which he probably needed to be rolling if she was going to be in the finish. But big drop in weight for the winner, and a nice controlled ride from Josh Richards again on around Caulfield.
She trimmed up quite a bit from the price that you're identifying her as at a bit of value, Dino. What did you make of her win yesterday?
Yeah, it was a good win. I wouldn't have envisaged her winning in that way. I thought Starring Roll would probably lead. She'd sit outside Starring Roll and then use the weight advantage, but different way to use it was that they rolled along, as I said, thanks to Daily Sectional Times, about 7.5 lengths above standard for the first 800 and just got that little rest from the 8 to the 4. And very like, if you remember back to Cranbourne Cup Day last year when Josh Richards won on Mankay, and he just keeps that little bit up his sleeve, and you could see that he hadn't gone for Deny Knowledge, and Starring Roll was just starting to run out of tickets, and then he went full bore with the lightweight on Deny Knowledge, and it was a good move and got the money. I thought Princess Rainers was a terrific run, because whilst they were just having that little breather down the side, she was actually working into the race at an above average speed. So she did a good job to keep going and run third. I just wonder if she's heading towards a race like the Centre Rea in Adelaide in a couple of weeks over 2,000, because she's right on target if that's the case. And then after that, they came in at intervals. But Mimi's Award's probably heading that way. I just don't know if she's going quite as well as last prep. Next run will probably tell a story when she does get to 2,000 metres.
Stewards report for White Hibiscus performed below market expectations. Damien Thornton could offer no explanation for the disappointing performance, and nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. Stewards are going to follow up with the Danny O'Brien stable. What did you make of White Hibiscus's run, Dave?
Yeah, she was quite close to that fast speed, Warren, but just when you think she's starting to get into a good rhythm of racing, yesterday she was way below her best and disappointing. So, she's a bit of a wild ride when you're back White Hibiscus.
Race three over 1,100 metres, the JRA handicap. It was a terrific race for Wiley Dalziel with Dance to Dubai and Aqua Girl fighting it out.
Bolly keeps chiselling up along the inside. Out deeper on the course is Aqua Girl, followed by the Stylist. Little Stevie needs an out with right. Den Blitz, Mama Smash, Shiloh Lass very wide. Embella's trying to track into it, about five off the lead from It's Kind of Magic coming from last. Dance to Dubai at the 200 with Aqua Girl. Aqua Girl strikes the front again from Dance to Dubai. Shiloh Lass, Embella, It's Kind of Magic down the outside. 100 to go. Dance to Dubai, Aqua Girl, stride for stride. It's Kind of Magic late. They reach the line, Dance to Dubai or Aqua Girl. I think that might be the order with It's Kind of
Yesterday morning on the panel, Dino, most of us were thinking this was going to be a race with a bit of high pressure at the top end. How did it pan out?
It probably didn't. They didn't go as hard as we probably envisaged, but Dance to Dubai was always going to be in that prominent role, and as was Aqua Girl. Probably that the change was a horse like It's Kind of Magic, ridden back from a wide draw, took a bit of the pressure out of the race, and she hit the line really well. But Dance to Dubai fought hard to win. Aqua Girl ran very well with the big weight. She's in for a good preparation, and It's Kind of Magic. One, she's a dry tracker, and two, maybe that's the way to ride her. She's had a lot of her career where she's been up in high-pressure races. She hit the line very well in this race. Just missed. Embella ran okay again. Belle Ciel getting fitter. Maybe she's not far off her best now.
What do you make of Awapuni Princess?
Back, made a bit of a move to the turn. Probably needs it wetter and maybe 1,200, not 1,100. She's a run-on sprinter, but maybe I think that they're the key elements to her. Probably a wetter track than she got yesterday.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, solid effort up on the speed dance to Dubai. Led off the fence, which isn't really ideal. Just kept sticking her head out when it needed to be done. Aqua Girl, three deep on that speed with the big weight, was super. Just couldn't quite get the upper hand. It's Kind of Magic. Gate and the good early speed helped her finish her off, as Dean's touched on. When we've seen her of recent times, she's been up rolling on the speed and going quite a decent gallop. In Bella, looked the winner for a stage. Belle Ciel probably could have done with a little bit more room coming to the turn. Little Stevie got very keen mid-race, didn't help its chances. And now Puni Princess, I'm forgiving of her. She didn't have a great deal of room when she probably needed it to be rolling into the race. There were tired horses all around her.
Vets were busy after this race. Little Stevie, Madame Bolly, Shiloh Lass, all requiring veterinary clearances prior to running again. Add Embella to that list. So, Dino, maybe a few forgive runs out of this.
Yeah, the one I didn't mention was Little Stevie. She's just got to get back and swoop home. And it's very tempting from a good draw to use it, but it just doesn't suit her. And she ended up firing up way too much. She just needs that cold ride and run home. And she could bounce back very quickly.
And the support was there for Dance to Dubai, so there must have been confidence from connections or punters or whoever shaped the market late that Dance to Dubai was there to run well first up, Dean.
Yeah, she trialled up nicely. She was ready to go. She was in her. I thought she was the best chance of the speed horses, and when there was a little bit of speed come out of the race, she certainly was an advantage in that regard. But she's a good, you know, genuine horse, and the stats lied a little bit with regard to, I think she was four runs at Caulfield for four unplaced efforts. Well, two or three of those were really big hard luck stories. So yesterday she took that out of the equation.
Jai McNeil capitalising on an opportunity to expand on his lead in the Metropolitan Premiership with a few other key rivals interstate. At this stage, he was aboard Blazer Trail in race four.
So it's Vici with the advantage of the inside at the 350, kicked clear. A length and a half, Galinas Crestani, followed by Sig Positano with a bit to do. It's under the whip from Quay Quay and Blazer Trail, but Galinas got to Vici at the 200 and took the front. Then Crestani, Sig Positano, Blazer Trail. It's Galinas with 100 metres to go clear. Galinas in front. Turbo from last is flashing out wide, and Sig Positano's lifting with Blazer Trail. Great go. What a finish. Sig Positano prominent with Blazer Trail. Photo third, Turbo.
Well, Galinas gave a really good kick, Brendan, but then as Matty Hill identified in the call, there was a wall chasing, and it was a question of whether they could reel in Galinas, who's only been beaten port three of a length after taking the lead turning for home.
Yeah, most of those that were on Galinas, me included, were almost thinking we're heading to the queue at about the 300 when he gave a good kick off the top of the straight off the top of the turn, but Blazer Trail, Jai McNeil, good patient ride. He could have gone four deep and gone up alongside the leaders rounding the turn and really put himself there early, but he just waited until he was able to balance up off the bend and then really attack the line. So he's got that right by a fraction, but winning or losing, it was a well-timed ride. Sig Positano travelled right up there behind the speed. Gaps came. He just missed. He's done everything but win the race. Turbo Super from the back maintains the good first form. Galinas has run well. Crestani being forgiving there of being three deep on the speeds, only been beaten a length. Quayquay's done a good job. First up as a gelding, covering ground four deep. I thought he battled okay and showed some decorum. Could have finished a little bit closer had there been a little bit more room earlier.
What do we take out of this race, Dan?
Yeah, evenly graded benchmark race, Warren. The change complexion very quickly late. He's a nice horse, the winner. Blazes the trail. As long as he gets relatively firm ground, he's very competitive. Sig Positano, Galinas, Turbo, all good. Crestani, as Brendan said, very forgiving there. I thought he'd be outside the leader, which I thought would be Galinas. But when Vici kicked forward, just really took that out of the equation. He was going to be then three wide and working. And to his credit, I thought he battled on well. And Quay, they made the announcement pre-race they wanted to ride him closer. I think if they'd ridden him absolutely cold here, he'd have gone very close to winning. He ran well. He was a good performance first up. Just Jake takes a couple of runs, but he did enough first up as well.
General from Craig from Keelor via the SMS, might be worth getting to that after the next race. We saw Blazer Trail winning first up, double for Jai McNeil at this stage of the day. We get to race five, and Ranting had been gelded. He won that Blue Sapphire going back a while ago. No horse had won a race coming out of that race since, and Mick D aboard for the first run as a gelding.
400 metres to go at Starry Legend for Tio Nugent with the featherweight about 2.5 lengths in front of Sword of Mercy, Ocean Beyond. Then came Ranting. It's our time with six to pick up and under the whip, followed by Pandemic Rock the Ring, Starry Legend as they reach the 150, still led by two lengths to Ocean Beyond, and Ranting is hitting the line hard. Starry Legend being gobbled up by Ranting. Ranting back to its best, one from Ocean Beyond, a three-way go third.
Craig from Keelor, a regular contributor via SMS, Dino. We'll get to his SMS before we talk about the race. Just a general question for the panel. Are the odds served up way too short for most favourites on a Saturday Metro meeting? Seems good percentage of them getting turned over. Quite often, I suppose, the early odds are quite tight for some of the favourites, Dean.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Warren. I certainly grew up in a different era to this because we didn't have odds until 30 minutes before a race. So, I think the markets were more competitive. But, yeah, there seems to be, and I don't know if it's because of the young modern punters take, you know, are not afraid to take $1.60, $1.70 in their sports betting, and then they translate that across to racing. Well, doesn't quite work like that. And, yeah, I do think we see horses, you know, you want to tip them, but you think, gee, you're tipping a $1.70 chance and they're really not that sort of price. And it is a fine balance. And I agree. I think the early markets can be a bit tight.
In generally, if you're playing early, are you looking deeper into the market perhaps for, you know, horses that, you know, have gone up $20 that perhaps should be $10 rather than trying to look for a favourite in early markets?
Yeah, that'd be right too, Warren. And if I was going to take a short favourite, it'd be something maybe earlier in the day, because I find with these multis, if the favourites get on a bit of a roll, then that last favourite later in the day becomes a prohibitive price because of all the multis rolling in, and that affects the price as much as any opinion.
You got a thought there, Brendan?
Yeah, Dino's probably spot on there. There's a lot of people looking to string, excuse me, three or four $1.50, $1.60, $1.70 favourites together in multis, and that's going to affect the price. But and like Dino, if I'm betting early, I'm looking for horses over the odds. If you want to back a favourite, you can back a favourite knowing that they're at the gates ready to go and nothing's gone wrong, rather than jumping into short odds way too early.
Plenty to talk about in this race, Dino, but we should focus on the performance of Randy and the work that Leon and Troy have done to get him back to winning. I think Troy was thinking he'd improve with the run yesterday, so it might have even been a bonus win, but the horse does have talent that we've seen earlier in his career.
Yeah, he has had talent, Warren. He's better ridden off the speed. The biggest work they did was probably having a Blue Sapphire winner, admittedly in a field of three, but gelding him because he's not that far off a Group 1 performance in that sort of effort. But he's now a racehorse and was genuine to the line, and the speed of this race suited him. A horse like Starry Legend was going to cut them out fast. It was always going to be the last 100 metres that was going to be the worry for Starry Legend going at that speed. And yeah, he ran the 80th best last 200 of the meeting. Starry Legend, he'd hit the wall. Ranting, good solid performance of the line. Good ride too by Michael D. Ocean Beyond, good return for the new stable with the lightweight. I think these benchmark hundreds are absolute winners at the moment. We're getting good fields in them, and he's a classic example because he was often outgraded because of that stakes win early in his career. It's our time. He was inspected behind the barriers, passed fit to run, got in the gates, and then missed it. It was a really awkward start and a horrible watch if you're on him, because you knew from a long way out you weren't going to win. He got very close, and Zorro's Dream, as he does, best last 600, 400 of the meeting, second best last 200, hit the line really well. Milton Park freshened up, had a little jump out. Nice run yesterday. He's back on track. Getting back to Flemington, and Milton Park will be winning pretty soon.
Heard Troy Corson's on with Gareth Hall yesterday morning in the first word, and Troy was talking about an operation where he had his vocal cords removed, I think was a description that he used. But the stewards then heard that and opened an inquiry into the notification of that, because the notification was there that Ranting was gelded, Dino, but perhaps there was an oversight in notifying about the throat surgery, that the stewards will discuss that with the stable.
Yeah, I just thought his vocal cords changed as he'd been gelded, but there you go. It was two different surgeries.
Brendan, how did you see this race?
He's done a good job there, Ranty. Good speed on for him. Back as a racehorse, he's hit the line well. Ocean Beyond, we know what he's capable of. First up for the Bobbin team. Did a good job getting to the line. Starry Legend, that's what you're going to get with him. He's going to go fast, whether or not he can see it out or not. He's in the lap of the god, Zoru's Dream. Typical sort of run for him off of speed like that. I thought Larimer Street was pretty good up the inside. He can go back to Adelaide and win a race, if not be competitive here. Dean, just with the size of Ranting, now that he's a gelding and he's predominantly the racehorse rather than looking for a stallion career, could he possibly stretch out to a mile if they could get him to relax? He's a lovely big horse.
I certainly think 1400's not beyond him. And, I would think for sure that, there'd be at least that extension, and whether a mile later on might come into his wheelhouse. But he was good yesterday. It was a good effort. Right on the line, pricked the ears, so he's still a little bit up his sleeve, I think.
And Brendan, Ocean Beyond, who got his career off to such a terrific start, first run for the Andrew Bobbin stable, there's light at the end of the tunnel there.
Yeah, most certainly. He's a horse that never really has a great deal of luck. And he was able to get a bit of luck there yesterday with the wide gate, but maybe a change of scenery might spark him up again, and you wouldn't suspect that he's going to be too far away in a similar race to this in the coming weeks.
You're thinking that 1,000 metres sees Starry Legend out, or do you give him more opportunities following that run yesterday?
You give him more opportunities. The further the rail gets out might help him, but depends what sort of mood he's in. If he wants to pace himself or not, he's going to go fast, and you're just going to have to take your medicine and hope there's enough left at the back end if he does it right through the early part.
Terrific example of what Craig from Keilor may have been referring to was Clemenceau going around at $1.60, race 6, the Darren Gauchy handicap yesterday.
Up to the corner, 500 to go. Dance Little Sister just gets a little bit of a breather before the corner from Clemenceau, Scissor Step, then Exceed Expect. Corkscrews 4 deep on the final turn from New York Baby, then Sabuma Under Pressure from Luna Catalina's Legend. Dance Little Sister at the 250, clicked up, still a length Clemenceau. Corkscrews nice and close, Scissor Step behind them, and Sabuma down the outside below the 200 metres. Sabuma takes the lead. It's Sabuma at 70-1, takes the lead from Clemenceau. Have I got the right horse? Yes, I have. It's Sabuma has blown everybody out, beat Clemenceau and also...
Well, Ray Basenko celebrated a birthday recently. I'm sure the family would have been thrilled with that win yesterday, Brendan.
Yeah, most certainly. Good speed from... Dance Little Sister. Clemenceau sat up there close to the speed, was always there but never really looked the winner from the top of the straight, has battled on well then off the good speed. The three wide line were able to come into it. Corkscrew led Sabuma, and off their backs came Luna Cat, so three of the first four coming from back of centre field. And Sabuma wasn't beaten far at that strong program at Sale on Good Friday, and has blown everybody out, blew me out. I thought he could run well, but I didn't think he could probably win. Clemenceau sat in the breeze, nice gallop, stuck it out okay, but at that price we're expecting him all to ping off the turn, and maybe just that speed throughout didn't help him. Corkscrew did a good job tagging the winner into the race, and Luna Cat was closing off well. It was a nice return to racing there for Luna Cat. Scissor Step probably could have done with some room earlier to the outside, but left scratching my head a little bit after this one.
It's Stewart's report probably supporting a few of things that you outlined there, Brendan. Scissor Step, Matty Cartwright said he would be better suited racing wider on the track in future. And Jai McNeil, Dino, with Clemenceau said he wasn't entirely comfortable on the racing surface, and he didn't look comfortable around the home turn, did he?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Brendan just hit on it perfectly when he said he expected him to ping off the bend. He doesn't have a great technique around turns. That's been evident. It was evident in his previous win, but he sort of gathered and ran away from them late, coming from a little bit further back. But yesterday, Well, I mean, if you took the short odds, which I rarely take odds on, but I did, you're horrified at the 300, but you assess the run. He was going to run fifth at the 300. He's actually run second, and he battled on really well, and I just don't think he got it that right. So I think he's a really good talent, Clemenceau. He's just got to iron out a few little kinks in his armour, and he'll be... maybe even looking for 1400 where he can really dictate even more. He might be suited, but Sabuma, I had him after sale. I had him marked down. He'll just win his next start, and I just didn't think he'd turn up in this sort of race. And he was going well enough to run well, but I didn't think he'd run that well. And well done to the Bazenko team. He's a really nice horse.
What about Scissor Step, Dino?
Scissor Step's a run-on sprinter that has to be ridden quiet, and the barrier draws at the past two have just meant that he's been that bit closer in the run. So I think Matty Cartwright mentioned in the stewards report that when he draws wider, they'll ride him quieter, and they'll get a better result out of Scissor Step. So he, I certainly agree with that sentiment. And I thought Luna Cat was good. She was on the back of the winner. She followed him home all the way and did more than enough first up.
Big start to the quaddie for some, with Sabuma taking out the Darren Gauchy handicap. Mankayan added some more values first up for Maren Eustace, with Matty Cartwright aboard in race 7.
Imperial Lad tried to stack them up, coming up towards the corner, led by about three quarters of a length, Maren Parr. Uncle Bryn four deep, coming with a searching run now. Mankayan behind those, Scottish Dancer under the whip from Bel Toro, then Biometric, and behind them Wairere Falls, and Thought of That in the running. Imperial Lad at the 200 metres, kicked for home. Uncle Bryn's got some work to do, a wall's chasing, Mankayan getting through, Bel Toro, Scottish Dancer all still there. Imperial Lad with Mankayan, Bel Toro and Skyman late. They go towards the line. Mankayan. Mankayan's won from a photo. Imperial Lad, Bel Toro, then Scott.
Short price favourite in Uncle Bryn, who was easy in the market late. Noted in the stewards report, Dean, raced wide and raced keenly. And Jai McNeil saying that those factors contributed to the gelding failing to respond to his riding when placed under pressure. But nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. Your take on the race?
I think he was just going way too keenly. I looked there for a little while early. He might get cover three wide. Scottish Dancer didn't look like he was going to get in. Once he got in, then he was three wide. No cover, and he was the hunted. He was the favourite. So as he went forward, then he was four wide. I still thought he'd give a little bit more on the straight, but he didn't have the best of runs. I'd be forgiving of his performance in saying that. Mankayan, go back to his first up run last preparation at Flemington. It was an absolute blinder. I just didn't know if Barrier 1 was going to suit him yesterday, whether he'd get the brakes at the right time. He trialled up nicely, as he did last preparation, but the room came on at the top of the straight, and he was gradually working through it, and he did a very good job to get home and win. The efforts immediately behind him of the likes of Bel Toro, in career best form, just keeps churning out good runs. Imperial Lad likewise led at a nice even speed. Skyman made up terrific ground to the line. He was in the best five late sectionals of the day, so his run was good. And Scottish Dancer, I like him ridden a bit quieter. I thought he ran well. He had the lightweight yesterday and he ran well, but obviously the disappointment, Uncle Bryn.
What do you make of this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Mankayan, lovely run up behind the speed, sprinted hard, went through his gears well when the run came and finished it off well. Bel Toro followed the favourite on the three wide line. He was working pretty hard to hold his spot there on the turn, but he just kept coming to the line. He's not going to be far off breaking his duck at the mile. Imperial Lad, good on speed again. Skyman's run well. Scottish Dancer up there closer. Dean said he likes him ridden a little bit colder, colder into the outside. Generally, he doesn't race all that well when he's in between horses, and he's boxed on pretty well there to be only beaten just under a length and a half. So maybe Flemington in a couple of weeks, or maybe a Swan Hill Cup or something like that on the horizon where he can get to the outside and really let loose. You can see him winning soon. Uncle Bryn, three wide, keen early. This was a step up from what he raced at Sale, so he's run well, and three wide hasn't helped him. Thought of That, I thought he was okay. He covered a fair bit of ground. He went back. We know he's better when he's up on the speed, and when he gets fitter, we'll see him back up there close to the speed. And Biometric went to the line untouched, but if you're brave enough to follow him, Biometric, good luck.
we sort of take it for granted now with the size of their stable and the success rate that they've been achieving for a period of time now, Dino. But the Murrin Eustace stable are running a big operation and just generating the level of success that they are with the Group 1 yesterday. Obviously, Blazer Trail, Alzheimer winning it at Caulfield also. It's just an outstanding operation that they're putting together.
Yeah, that's right, Warren. Performers at Gosford too. So they, it is massive what they've done and how they do it. And to think that in the past 2 months they've had a place getter and a Golden Slipper and won a Grand Annual just shows their diversity and their ability to train whatever's put in front of them.
What's on the agenda, would you think, for Mankane coming into work at this time of year?
You know that might mean that he ends up in the Melbourne Cup in November with them. They just bring them along steadily, race them through winter. And I'm being serious. I think, Grand Promenade's not far from kicking off, and he's probably on that sort of path as well, where they might race once a month and gradually build their profile and end up in a race like the Bark Cummings. So, that would be what I think he'd probably do.
Onwards and upwards with a good first up win from Mankane, 1,600 metres yesterday. Alzheimer, conversely, had the run on testing ground in the Australia Derby at Randwick. He was back to 2,000 metres in race 8 yesterday.
Hollywood Park had a few of these chasing around the turn at the 300 metres. Hollywood Park, two lengths, Blushing Tycoon. Alzheimer coming with a searching run. Then came Emperor of France in the Amazonian. Hollywood Park joined by Alzheimer. Then Blushing Tycoon, Emperor of France, the Amazonian, and Villa Den. But Alzheimer, 100 metres to go, strikes the front. The Amazonian, Emperor of France, coming at Alzheimer. It's wandering under pressure, but it wins. Alzheimer from the Amazonian, third in the race.
Well, Brendan, back from Sydney, what did you make of his win there yesterday?
Had a perfect run, four or five lengths off a rolling gallop. It was a good staying effort at the back end. He just might have got a little bit lost or needed the stick through to the other hand, which Dry was able to do late. I thought he was a super effort, but he did have a sweet run close to a nice speed. The Amazonian, three wide, no cover, had to put in a searching run, has done a good job. Emperor of France looked under serious pressure at the 600 metres, but kept coming to the line. Yappet continues to race well, was a mile off them, has made some solid ground. Blushing Tycoon on the speed, battled okay. Hollywood Park just probably went a little bit hard. Villardin grounded out okay, and Tabby Storm didn't have a lot of room 400 metres onwards, really, as grounded out late. But when he needed to be rolling into the race, you would think he might have finished alongside a horse like Yappet or maybe the Claimant, but just that room didn't help. But good staying performance off a good solid tempo with a sweet run.
Thoughts here, Dave?
Yeah, it was a good win by Alzheimer to come back off that derby running back onto drier ground, and he'd had the little freshen up. We've seen Carrick do that now up in Brisbane and Alzheimer, so they can bounce back if they from that those bad runs on the heavy ground, and he did that yesterday, and it was a good staying performance. I thought the effort of Yaffet was outstanding. He went back from the draw, hit the line sweetly, 10th best last 200 of the meeting. They really went to the line well. Cliff Brown's had two South Australian Derby winners, and they were on seven-day backups in Markham and Cheviot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Yaffet's South Australian Derby bound next Saturday and runs very well.
Talked yesterday morning about Alzheimer still learning to some extent, not the finished product. Seven races into his first campaign now, Dino. That's a real credit to the Murrin Eustace stable to get him that deep into that preparation, particularly contesting a Group 1 race on testing ground the start before yesterday.
Yeah, nice big strong style of colt, and they've been able to maintain his fitness levels and his enthusiasm, and as you said, off a run that could have flattened him, he produced the best figures of the day. So he ran very well. The Amazonian ran well. She's probably on her way to that Phillies Classic in a couple of weeks, and she ran a good race also. And Hollywood Park was beaten yesterday, but I like the tactics. They rolled him along at a good speed. Often those races, they back off down the side and there's a big jam up. He actually tried to go for home and win the race, and made it a truly run staying test. And he was just found wanting a bit late, but I think he'd be better for that run.
The market largely had the last race at Caulfield yesterday as a match between Flash R and Milford. And late in the betting, the punters really honed in on Flash R.
Long Last coming up to the turn. It's Secret Blaze up to Don't Doubt Dory. Milford three deep. Pancho four deep. No effort. Five deep. The race is on the point of the corner. Then came Flasher behind them from Bedford. Attention run. And next in the field, Rockin' One More Try. It's Milford and Pancho together at the 200 metres. It's Milford just in front of Pancho, and Flasher coming through over on the far side from No Effort at the 100. Milford just in front of Pancho and Flasher. Milford fights again. Milford in front, and Milford. Milford's won it from a photo. Flasher or Pancho?
Well, it was seen as a match race, Dino, going into it. How did you see it unfolding?
Yeah, well, that's how it's panned out in the end. They've run 1-2. This was run at a farcically slow speed, to the extent that, not surprisingly, because he's done it before, Rock ran the best last 200 of the meeting in running nowhere. But Milford and Flasher did present, I think, with the right form, and ultimately they've run 1-2. Pancho is a fantastic run because he over-raced, and he's much better when the speed's a bit stronger. So he did a good job. He wins a race every prep at least one, and he's ready to do so again now. Defibrillate was racing for his Australian future, I think. He probably passed. He ran quite well. Mandela Effect, the tempo was against him. Don't Doubt Dory, I know he won early in his career at 2100. I think he's a 16, 1700 metre horse, and he gave ground late. But the winner was winner's going really well, and he actually wanted to run away a little bit late and win the race, whereas he had a bit of a think about it in the Easter Cup. I think he's got a lot from that win.
We know how well Paddy Maloney's career is evolving, Dino. It was a relatively straightforward task, but you said it was a slowly run race, and I think he was very conscious of Flasher was, and I think he really tried to keep tight, turn into the home straight, and almost hold Jai McNeil in as long as possible to give himself every opportunity. I thought it was a terrific tactical ride, albeit from the right spot on Milford.
Yeah, and I think, Warren, when we talk about the evolution of jockeys and when they really develop and improve, it is that awareness of what's around them in a race, and certainly Paddy's getting that right a lot lately, and again yesterday.
Your thoughts on the last, Brendan?
Yeah, would have been probably run at a much stronger gallop if No Effort had got the start right. She sort of tried to anticipate it and was almost halfway through the gates, it looked like, before it went as they opened, and that sort of put her on the back foot. And if she had gone forward with Alana Kelly, you would have expected them to run along at a bit more of a solid gallop. But Milford had a lovely run behind them. He sprinted hard. He was a little bit more genuine than what we've seen in the Easter Cup there yesterday. Flasher followed the speed, maybe just left marking time a little bit between the 500 and the 400 when those horses like Pancho and Milford were starting to wind up and put in their sweeping runs. Just had to come across the heels of the leaders for a little bit, maybe cost him a length or so, and he's been beaten 0.8. Pancho's done a good job. We know he likes it to be run a lot harder. The Fibrillates closed off okay. Attention Run looked the winner there, followed the winner into the race and was solid, and then Rock did a rock, and Don't Doubt Dory, as Dean touched on, just 2,000 metres particularly leading, I don't think, is a good scenario for Don't Doubt Dory.
Rhino, a regular contributor via SMS, Dino, just wanting to get your comment on Alana Kelly and that ride on No Effort, given that the card she was dealt initially and then the way she played the race from there.
Oh, well, I mean, it was out the window from the start. I think they were going so slowly, she tried to make something happen from down the side. Originally, I think she was trying to creep into the race, but that's when the speed started to go into the race, and she ran an unbelievable 800 to 400 in the race, but that was always going to take its toll, and I don't think if she sat back, much else would have changed, but she, if they go slower for another 200 metres, she'd have got around them and ended up outside the lead and probably run a pretty cheeky race, but trying to make the best of a bad situation is always very difficult.
About to take a break and turn our attention interstate. Brendan, just you referenced a couple of races early in the program at Donald. For those that didn't get much of that meeting yesterday, just take us through a couple of your highlights from calling the meeting.
Yeah, there were a couple of good performances. Opening event, Dean Holland, who had a field day there yesterday, rode the first two winners. Amazonian Dreaming, I thought, was really good. A little bit green in the opener, but was solid in winning, running away from them. And Proud Conquest won the Donald Classic. Looked a small but pretty select field. And Proud Conquest, very professional, set up outside the speed, took very little urging to go on it and put them away. Might be one for the future. Can throw up a pretty handy one, this Donald Classic.
Court to 10 on RSN 927. Time for break. Turn our attention interstate after this.
in the bend. Snap Dancer straightened in front. A couple on All Banter. Away game. Another award. September Run charging through the fence. Bella Vella, Champagne Dreams. Then Bella Nipotina. But Snap Dancer in full flight. Away game into the clear. Away game chasing Snap Dancer. Snap Dancer kept going at any old price. And Snap Dancer takes out the Sangster all the way from Away game September.
First Group 1 for Ethan Brown. We've talked a little bit about that, Dino. Let's talk about the race in general yesterday.
Yeah, well, she just got the absolute flyer out of the gates, Warren. Went to the front, and that was pretty much the end of the race. And it was a little bit of the theme of the sprint races there yesterday, especially the on-paces were well advantaged. Away game, what a marvellous mare she is. You've got to remember that she contested this race when she was a two-year-old 2 years ago. She's been up and down the eastern seaboard many, many times. Ran another brave Group 1 placing, September Run. Genuine Group 1 performer, ran well. Another award, best of the locals, running fourth. Bella Nipotina ran okay. The backmarkers, Brooklyn Hustle, Argentia, never really got a chance to get into, especially Argentia. She had one just laying all over. I think it was Gaze Gree on the home turn, and that really didn't give her a chance to wind up, but it was a very on-pace dominated race, and it was Ethan Brown seizing that opportunity.
Brendan?
Yeah, lovely controlled ride from the front. Knew where he wanted to be, straight up on the speed, controlled the race. He's riding in such good form, not only Saturday class, but, you know, Thursday nights at Pakenham, Friday nights at Cranbourne. He's just in the zone and giving horses every possible chance. Away game, Dean's touched on her. Brave as ever, September Run played for luck, back to the inside with the speed again. She's run okay. Another award was honest. Bella Nipotina was okay. And Brooklyn Hustle, instant celebrity, as Dean touched on as well. Those backmarkers just couldn't get into it.
A Group 1 for Snap Dancer, very valuable for her connections, and great for Ethan Brown. Another one for Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace. Perhaps some of those mares head on towards a Goodwood. If you the thoughts on any of them that might be suited staying in South Australia and having a crack at another Group 1 in the Goodwood, Dean?
Oh, I'd imagine Away game in September Run. We heard earlier from Brad Spicer saying they're probably going the Tats Tiara with Snap Dancer, but I think Away game September Run will probably go that way. Brooklyn Hustle, I mean, she's just on the Group 1 path to try and, you know, round off her CV. The same with Bella Nipotina. Wouldn't be surprised if those four all lined up. Instant Celebrity ran in it last year, so there could be, yeah, you know, four or five come out of that race.
Mackay Stakes is a traditional lead up to the Goodwoods over 1,100 metres yesterday. Free of Vedette won a blanket finish.
Pressuring now Azar to Savatou Excel, and Azar takes over. Savatou Excel sprint sharply to match. Free of Debt, Miss Albania, not much doing from the back of the field. Bo Ross is not there. Neither is Ironclad or Bohemoth. Savatou Excel, Free of Debt's after him. Azar hangs around the Inferno late. Screaming finish. Free of Debt lunged at Savatou Excel, very tight.
Interested in your thoughts here, Brendan.
Yeah, it wasn't a fast run race. Free of Debt had the lovely running behind them and just got the head down at the right time. Savatou Excel, good to see him return to some sort of form after finishing down the track at Sale. He looked pretty ordinary in that run in the Discovery, but back to Adelaide, he's done a good job. The Inferno, speed against, has run well. Typical sort of run from Acer. He races close to the speed. The speed was there to suit him. He just couldn't put them away. Miss Albania could have done with some room. I thought Behemoth was okay, and Bo Rosson was a little disappointing, and Ironclad, who was back for a bit, might have liked a bit more speed on, but I thought was pretty plain in the finish.
How are you viewing this race, Dino? First of all, as a race in its own right, and then as a lead into the Goodwood.
Yeah, Free of Debt, that's about his sort of race, 1,100 metres, and good effort to get him back in the winner's stall at big odds. Savatou Excel in the Inferno, I was pleased to see them run well because they were well beaten in the Discovery, the Country Discovery at Sale by In the Boat, so that form is looking okay. Azar battled on okay. With a bit better luck, Miss Albania might have nearly won the race. She was a long odds move. I think she was $101 into $26, and they didn't miss by much. She got a bit clearer running. She'd have gone very close. Bohemoth did probably just enough, and Ironclad, he was okay at 1,100 metres, considering I think he's better probably even 1,600. But, a very bunch finish, so a bit hard to work out.
Miss Albania might be shorter odds, Devon. Another trainer next start.
Well, she might be, although, geez, Paul Coombs did a good job. It was an ambitious program yesterday, and it all but paid off.
He's got a great association with the connections. He does a terrific job. He's an integral part of the Danny O'Brien team for a long time. Paul does a great job. That was a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yes.
Hopefully that form isn't strong enough to challenge in the boat. Who's heading towards the Goodwood? How's he travelling, Dino?
Yeah, good. He has a trial at Terang on whenever the jump outs are there, I think Tuesday, and then he'll be over to Adelaide for Saturday week.
A couple of other races to discuss. The Queen of the South, Craig Williams, had an absolute day out in Adelaide yesterday. We'll talk about one or two of his performances later on. But Silent Sovereign taking out the Queen of the South, Dino, getting past Foxy Frida and Comica. How did you see that race?
I was nearly under the couch after the race, Warren. I backed Foxy Frida, and my goodness, she should have won pretty easily.
There wasn't Sovereign. Much room under your couch, Dino, there at that stage.
No, Silent Sovereign. Who ran second in the Port Adelaide Cup last year on the same day, brought her back to the Queen of the South. And for Tony McAvoy, his fourth win in the Queen of the South, only two behind the great C.S. Hayes. So he's made the race his own in recent times. And she was a good chance off what she'd done. That Bendigo run, that was Foxy Frida, Cirilio Miss. They all had the intertwining form line. But Foxy Frida just virtually got carted out of the race, and then to get as close as she did was terrific. Comica, valuable Group 2 placing. Thought another one, Ethan Brown, put in the race and ran well. Tokarangi was making her run with Foxy Frida. Probably a little bit of a forgive there. She was in pretty tight room. But, the winner's a good mare and having a good preparation.
And Comica was the right decision to probably put her there the way the race shaped up, but she seems to be better in recent times, Dino, when she's actually dominating and controlling a race from the front?
Yeah, I think so. And they didn't go over all that hard, really. 138, 14, and it was more of a sprint home. But she's run very well. And I think, a race like this, similar race to this in the spring, she could get a good black type win.
Your thoughts, Brendan?
Yeah, we've seen Silent Sovereign run well in a similar race structure to that before. Not a fast gallop, but her wide and flowing into the race suits her, and she was able to go on and score Foxy Frida. She just keeps putting her hand up, running well, and as Dean's touched on, she should have won yesterday. Comica did have a nice run behind them, but prefer her when she's up on the speed and rolling, as you've touched on. But a scenario that Silent Sovereign's not foreign to, being on that three-wide line off a slow tempo rolling into the race.
Craig Williams looked to rack them and stack them in the Tobin Bronze, but to her credit, Ceridess really dashed away late, Brendan?
Yeah, certainly did. He might have over-controlled it a little bit.
Yeah.
A few got right up in the air when he jammed the brakes on after flying the leads, but she was there for him when he needed her to ping, and she was good. General Bow, there were a few horses in this race that just couldn't quicken off that slow speed. General Bow, Bacchanalia set on the outside of the winner. Manhattan Times good from the back, but when they were going, the sectionals they were going, it was always going to be hard for Ceridess to get beat.
Important win for Mark and Levi Kavanagh, training in partnership now back in the old stomping ground in Adelaide. Do you know a Group 2 win?
Yeah, very much so. And as Brendan said, controlled the race. First thing I reached for this morning on my laptop was the South Australian Stewards Report to see if Craig got in trouble for overslowing, and there wasn't even a mention. So it was a messy race, but he was the beneficiary, and fair play to him. He got away with it, and she won convincingly. And as you said, very important for the stable, and she's been the flag bearer really since the partnership started, winning that good race last spring and doing it again yesterday.
Splendiferous dominating the Port Adelaide Cup to winning good style, a stakes race there for her. Let's turn our attention to the Gold Coast, where the feature race was the Hollandale Stakes. Star Horse Arky was a very short price favourite.
Zaki in front by a length and a half. Working home as Cucaracha down the outside. Coventina Bay, Polly Gray, Wetor making ground as well at the furlong marker. It's a Zaki in front by a length and a half. Trying hard as Cucaracha. Polly Gray the next one. But in front, Zaki near the line from Polly Gray. Zaki's in front. Zaki's done it again. Zaki by three quarters. Second, Polly Gray. Third, Cucaracha.
Well, Deeney was expected to win. How did you see the race?
Yeah, you could look at it. And see, he beat Polly Gray by three quarters of a length, who's a good handicapper. Cucaracha's been just battling for form. Wetor's an improver, but when he pulled up, he blown up over the back massively. So I think he'd had a pretty good time of it since the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. So he will just improve, I think, immensely off this run. And his peak performance is probably going to come in the Doomben Cup as it did last year. So he did enough to win. On the flip side, we often speak of the aggressive and successful placement of the Price Kent Junior horses. I thought Ayrton was set a big task yesterday, and then to take on Zaki coming to the turn and try and go eye to eye with him was just, I think, the wrong move. And I think at this stage he should be freshened up and going to a Stradbroke, not going on to staying races. But it's just an opinion.
You just worry about what impact that run on testing ground, up in distance, and putting pressure on such a beast of a horse in Zaki may have on him, don't you?
Yeah, and he's in the rehabilitation phase from an illness, and he did a lovely job to win the Victoria Handicap. I thought he might just go the 8 weeks and straight to the Stradbroke, but this plan was hatched, and yesterday didn't work out well.
Brendan?
If Zaki's going to improve off that, it's hard to see Ayrton if he's going to follow the same path in turning him over. Zaki too good there yesterday. Polly Gray had her conditions to suit runs well. I thought Cockeracha was pretty brave. Had been going well on the wet tracks in Sydney and held that form yesterday.
I want to touch on a few other races here, Dino. We've taken the Kentucky Derby today, so we're just getting a little bit short of time. Just discuss them. Gypsy Goddess chasing home Dynasties in the gold bracelet. That could well be a lead to the Oaks. She probably just needs to get that Group 1 win on the board, Gypsy Goddess, but she'd probably have to be one of the horses to beat looking ahead at the Oaks.
Yeah, they could call the Gold Coast bracelet the McKinnon Stakes for her yesterday. She set out the back and worked home beautifully. She was on the back of the winner. She couldn't get past her, but they rounded them up, and it was a good finish. But if I had Gypsy Goddess or a ticket with Gypsy Goddess's name on it for the Queensland Oaks, I'd be very comfortable.
You're a futures player, Brendan. Anything in your pocket with Gypsy Goddess and Queensland Oaks written on it?
Nothing with Queensland Oaks written on it, but you would suspect that if people aren't already on board, they'll be piling on board after the run yesterday.
And the Ken Russell, a lot of stables target the two-year-old races in Queensland, Dino, the size in particular, the JJ Atkins. Natuno sharp at the 1,200 metres, but maybe some horses back in the field. Todd from Annabelle Neeson stable, yep, indicating West of Africa might be heading towards a race like the JJ Atkins. How'd you see that race?
Yeah, Natuno showed good fight there to win and beat Midnight in Tokyo. But I think West of Africa, the horse that was mentioned, he just doesn't quite know yet. I don't think the Gold Coast circuit suited him. I think when he gets to Eagle Farm, the bigger track, and 14 and 1600, I think he'll come into his own. So, yeah, he's the one I'd be taking out of the race with an eye to the future. I liked what I saw of him yesterday. He didn't corner that well. It got a bit unbalanced, but on the line he was okay.
Do you have a thought there, Brendan?
Yeah, leader controlled it, and well, Bart Sinclair yesterday with Garrison, he's Queensland's premier two-year-old, and he just had enough left. Midnight in Tokyo, I thought, was a really good resolute chase. You'd suspect somewhere other than the Gold Coast will suit her, I beg your pardon, next time around.
Other feature races yesterday, Rustic Steel took out the Rich Coast, $500,000 race. Nice to hear the national anthem prior to that at Gosford yesterday. New Merion and Blondo also taking out feature races there at Gosford. And the Archer, a slot race at Rockhampton, Dino, a little bit off-Broadway for a Saturday afternoon, but Rob Heathcote going up there and taking out the race with Emerald Kingdom, getting past Apache Chase late.
Yes, he did. It was quite a good competitive race. Gabe Waterhouse's horse ran third, and poor old Crosshaven never has much luck. He was out in no man's land and had a very hard run, long way to go to have as hard a run as he did. But, an interesting race. And with regard to the Gosford meeting, certainly that effort I thought New Merion in the Cup was very good. I think he's improving with racing, and Rustic Steel just set that race up with 52 kilos and won very well. I wouldn't drop off our Playboy if they can find another race for him. He had 60 kilos and had to chase yesterday. He had a lot to do, so I thought his run was okay.
God, just past 10 o'clock, time for the boys' runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And Dino, we'll start with you.
If it was around the nation, that Zaki was the run of the day, but at Caulfield, I thought El Zami was the best run of the day, and the horse to follow comes out of the same race. I think if Yaffet takes his place in next week's South Australian Derby, he's got a big mountain to climb, beating a horse like Detonator Jack and a couple of others, but I think he'll hit the race in really good form, Yaffet.
We're racing at Ballarat today, Dino, on a rain-affected track to some degree. Thoughts on anything we should be following there?
We spoke of the Mara Newsa stable. They've got plenty of runners, as they would have at Ballarat. But Texel, I think the blinker's off. He was a bit keen last start. Race 5, number 4, and his career best run early doors was on a heavy track. So I'm happy to be with him, race 5, number 4.
On a heavy 8 there at Ballarat today. Great work, Dino. Look forward to your contributions right throughout the week.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan Laney, we're about to head into Sunday Central. What have we got to look forward to there?
Plenty coming up. We're going to preview the meeting at Ballarat with Harry White. We'll run through the cards at Mudgee, Narra, the Sunshine Coast and Narracourt. Bear Robinson will join us with his thoughts on the Hobart program. And Adam White along to talk footy before we get stuck into the trots and the greyhounds. Early start for both the trots and the greyhounds today with a big card at Shepparton and also Healesville in their usual Sunday morning slot.
What are we looking forward to from you in terms of your analysis of yesterday?
I'm going to go Snap Dancer, run of the day. Horse to follow, going to Donald. I think Proud Conquest looked pretty smart there yesterday. Wouldn't be surprised to see him step up into much stronger company and be very competitive at start number 2.
Might even see him at one of your favourite carnivals, Swan Hill.
Well, we got Warnable out the way, so it's all roads to Swan Hill now, and the Alstrom would be a very nice race for him.
Well done, Brendan. Look forward to the next couple of hours. Zaki, run of the day for me. And I don't know what Quay Quay's best distance is, but I think he's come back well for Matt Kamani. I'm going to make him my horse to follow. Thanks for joining us on Correct Weight. Happy Mother's Day. Look forward to the next couple of hours with Brendan.